Pastor Joe, would you come now and preach the word of God to us?
This morning, I would ask you to turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 100. In Psalm 100, the psalmist writes, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Do those words sound familiar? These are the first words of the Declaration of the American people against English tyranny. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. These truths are self-evident. They are self-authenticating. These concepts are concepts that need no further proof. Why? Because of who gave us these proofs, these truths. Who gave us these rights? God the Creator. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. God gave us these rights. God the Creator. And therefore, no man, no government has the right to take these things from us. And yet, the liberals in our culture are trying to force these words out of the hearts and minds of Americans. They are self-consciously working at removing the thought of God from the hearts and minds of men, the hearts and minds of our countrymen, the hearts and minds of Americans. This is being done self-consciously because they know that if they can separate men in their minds from the thought of God, then they can separate men in their minds from their inalienable rights. If they can separate men in their minds from seeing their certain rights as being inalienable rights, then the Constitution can be demonstrated not to be a document that reflects and protects these God-given unalienable rights, but only a document that is constructed by those who are in power, so that if the government grants certain privileges, the government has the right to revoke certain privileges. That's what they're doing. That's what we must fight against. We hold these truths to be self-evident. The birth words of our nation. And yet, right now, we have a government that is attempting at every point and juncture in American life, in American society, to separate us from these certain unalienable rights. To say they have the right to revoke from us freedom of religion and freedom of speech. They want to declare certain speech hate speech. They are trying very hard to prevent the preaching of the Word of God against sin. They are trying to revoke our right to bear arms. Dear ones, the Constitution forbids keeping a standing army in times of peace. And that's the whole purpose for the Second Amendment. That because the states have no rights to maintain a standing army in times of peace, that all of their respective citizens must have the right to bear arms so that they can take up their arms to defend themselves against threats to tyranny and oppression and our way of life. They want to revoke our rights to speedy trials. They want to take away that right that we would be protected against unlawful search and seizure. They want to take away our protection against excessive bail. These rights are being trampled left and right. And dear ones, I'll say with certainty, the liberals are winning the battle. They are winning the battle because they have seized control of the public educational system and are using it to teach men to hate God. They are using it to effectively teach young people the non-existence of God. And Christians, I am calling on you to take up this call, to do whatever you can to see the public educational system of our land dismantled. Write your elected officials, write your congressmen and your senators and your representatives, urging them to implement a voucher program where parents can direct their money to educate their children the way they want. This is the only way we will see this abominable institution deconstructed. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. What the psalmist is saying here is, let all the nations know that Yahweh is the true God. All others are vanity and idols. Only God has claim to be worshipped and is entitled to universal adoration. But such is our natural atheism, that God, in His infinite wisdom, saw fit that He needed to inscripturate a charge to us to remember God, the Lord, as our Creator. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is of God, through God, for God, that all things exist. And yet, where is there mention of God in our public schools? There is no mention of God in our public schools. We have declined so far in our era that God is now only mentioned in a mocking way, in a blasphemous way. Our way of government currently mocks God. On Friday, President Barack Hussein Obama stood and addressed Planned Parenthood. And when he concluded his address, he said, God bless you. God bless you. Wrong. God damn you, Planned Parenthood, and God damn you, Barack Obama, for what you did. These are wicked and abominable things. And we are being forced to support these blasphemous institutions with our tax dollars. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. He has made us. The fact that He is the Creator proves that He is God, since no one but God can perform the work of creation. The highest idea that we can possibly form of power is that of creation, to call into existence out of nothing. What greater power exists anywhere? This being created where there was nothing. And therefore, every created thing is a proof of the existence of God. The immensity of nature is an illustration of the greatness of His power. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are not self-created. We do not possess within ourselves the power of self-existence. All that we have, all that we are, we owe to Him. We are His people. We are His people by virtue of creation. He that has brought anything into existence has a right to it and can dispose of it as He sees fit. It is on this idea that essentially all other ideas of personal property exist and rest. But it is so clear in our day, dear ones, that many established institutions in society have views completely contrary to the biblical view of man's inalienable rights. Planned Parenthood was begun by a woman who hated God. Her name was Sanger. I don't remember her first name. Margaret Sanger. She hated God. She hated religion. And now our tax dollars support Planned Parenthood, an institution that is aimed at hating God and destroying human life. We see the right of a free exercise of religion being trampled on a regular basis, nowhere more so than the public schools. Our public schools now consider it their chief objective to decry Christianity in the Bible. They want to forbid the mention of Christ on school campuses, while our First Amendment protects the free exercise of religion. And you don't set that right aside no matter what building you enter on this land. And I would say the same thing holds true of the Second Amendment. Yet we still have politicians, pastors, Christians who promote the idea of public education. We still have so many people that think we can turn back the tide in our public schools and get back to the point where its acceptance of Christianity and Christian values are again brought to the fore. But the problem is, dear ones, that the public schools were founded on an anti-God basis. The platform of their educational model is to present reading and writing and arithmetic as working whether God exists or not. And that, by definition, is atheism. Atheism does not deny the existence of God. It simply says there is no proof for God. The atheist refuses to acknowledge the Bible as the Word of God, saying that there is no evidence that the Bible is the Word of God. And without the Word of God, there is no evidence for the existence of God. And so this public educational model is to displace the notion of God. And yet, there have been schools of theologians that have devoted the better part of their lives to demonstrate, even without starting with the Bible, though I think it's foolish not to, that we can prove the existence of God. They have constructed what are called the five theological proofs for the existence of God. The first one is the cosmological argument that every effect has a cause, and therefore there must be an uncaused causer of the universe. Something that has within itself the power of self-existence. We have what's called the teleological argument, that there is an observable order in all of nature. Some people call it now the argument for intelligent design. That it's obvious that there is an order and a harmony in all of creation. You know, the ancient Greeks knew this 3,000, 4,000, and 5,000 years ago. And they called it, they even labeled it, the dilemma of the one and the many. That they saw this incredible order and harmony in the universe. And so their philosophers attempted to resolve this dilemma. What is the reason for it? Is it because all things came from a particular one, and that particular one gave order to the many? Or is it because the many together comprise and make up the one? But at least they were dealing with it honestly, though paganly. We have the anthropological argument for the existence of God, which is that all men possess a moral impulse. Have you ever met a person that does not have a moral impulse, that does not say something is right and something is wrong? Even if it's twisted and perverse. And there is a recognition that the right is not always rewarded in this life, nor is the wicked always punished in this life, which argues for the existence of a God who will both reward the righteous at a time after this life or punish the wicked. There is what's called the ontological argument, that man possesses within himself the idea of perfection, and that existence is a necessary part of perfection, therefore God must exist. And then we also have that proof that says that God is an innate idea, that all men are born into this world with the thought of God, that it is inescapable. You never see a child who denies the existence of God. That is only a matter of progression as the heart grows harder and the child moves into adulthood, as they suppress the truth of God in unrighteousness. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture, dear ones. The foundation of all education must be the Word of God. The point of all education must be the knowledge of God. The result of education aims at the glory of God. If we were to carefully consider that we are God's creatures, what a powerful motivator that would be for us to use whatever we have received from God, life, motion, being, gifts, all to His glory, and never as a weapon of unrighteousness for fighting against Him. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. The glory of our creation and natural birth certainly belong to God. How much more the glory of our recreation, our regeneration, which brings us to realize what utter madness it is to consider our rebirth to be a matter of our own power any more than our first birth, because it says here, it is He who has made us, not we ourselves. And so, loved ones, all these things being the case, let the Lord's people stir themselves up to a more thankful service to God, to see more clearly their obligations to Him as their King and their chief pastor, And here then is our encouragement. If we do see God as our King and our chief pastor, how then can we not expect from Him what a good King and a good and faithful pastor would provide? We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Isn't it in our own best interest to leave in God's hands to order and provide as He sees fit, since we are His creatures? He is our owner. Doesn't every good owner that ever acquired or created anything take great pains to dispose of that which he has created or acquired with a great deal of care and concern? Why would we think any less of God? Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me, and they hear my voice, and they follow me." Will you bow your heads with me? Father, I pray that we would remember that the Lord, He is God, that He has made us and not we ourselves, that we are His people, the sheep of His pasture, that these things would not slip easily from our thoughts and minds, that they would have first place in our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.